All right, let's hit the field.
All right.
Just wanted to talk, that's all.
It was game 17 of 162, and the Yankees were north of the border to take on the Toronto Blue Jays. Luis Gil was on the mound with his electric fastball, but would he be able to harness his command? My recap, your reactions coming up next. This is NYY Recaps.
Welcome to Yankee Stadium.
New York City.
Just when they thought I was out,
they pull me back in.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome back. Welcome back. In case you're late to the party, John Sterling retired this afternoon. I know some people get home from work late, kind of missed what's going on. John Sterling, calling it a career, effective immediately. We did a little bit of a live stream on there. I shared some memories, but thought it was worth bringing up in case you missed it. Definitely going to be a different sound to summertime from now on for the rest of our lives. His final home run call was the Giancarlo Stanton Grand Slam from a few days ago.
And the pitch hit in the air to deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. It's a Grand Slam. Non dimenticar. That ball sure traveled far. Giancarlo.
36 years with the Yankees, countless unforgettable calls. My favorites were Burn Baby Burn and the Bambino. I also liked the Giambino. I never cared for an A-bomb from A-Rod. I liked El Capitan. Obviously, All Rise is the obvious one, but he delivers the line quite well, you gotta say. Jimmy Carter once said, retirement is not the end of the road. It is the beginning of the open highway. So here's to you, John Sterling. Congrats on your retirement. A lot of great memories of John, as I'm sure many of you do. And on Saturday at Yankee Stadium, they're going to honor him on the field. In his honor, my buddy Justin is going to come join me. We're going to do a watch party on Saturday, live from Studio 2. That direction over there. Justin's my co-host for my other podcast, which if you don't know about it, it's called We're the Dudes. It's fun. It's about movies and stuff. And you can get it on YouTube and podcast platforms. So check that out. Frankie Baseball asked me if I was going to change my win music to remove John Sterling. Not anytime soon. He will be there at least through the end of this year. We might mix it up next year, but I'm going to have John Sterling announcing Yankees wins for the rest of 2024. And maybe for the rest of this channel. You know, Jeter never wanted to come to bat to a voice other than Bob Shepard. And I'm not sure I ever want a Yankee win to be announced on this channel by anyone other than John Sterling. So we put up the highlights. There were not a lot of great highlights tonight. Yankees dropped one 3-1. Today was, of course, Jackie Robinson Day. He broke the color barrier 77 years ago. One of my favorite days each year is when everybody on the field wears 42. I just think that's such a cool tribute. They don't do it for anybody else, but with the Yankees old style unis and rocking the number 42, that was just awesome. Just awesome. Main story of this game was Luis Gil. The two Luis Gils, I should say. The one who just overpowers hitters with a disgusting fastball. And the other one, who has no idea where that fastball is going. And just electric stuff, zero command. Very low scoring game, not a lot of offense. You see Kirk with the double down the line there. And Yankees lose a tough one. But hey, look, you're not going to win every night. Yankees still 12-5. That's still very respectable. Let's get to the blow by blow.
All right, let's go. Let's get it going.
So if there's two words that come to mind when I think about Luis Gil, or when I look at Luis Gil or watch him throw a baseball, they are power pitcher. And sometimes when you give a power pitcher, especially one with command issues, a day or two extra of rest, it can be a problem. And I worried about this. I actually texted Aiden Bechamp from Fireside Yankees. And I said, hey, man, how are you feeling about Luis Gil tonight? I'm not sure about the extra couple of days rest. Feel like you might have some command issues. And he said, well, he's going to be all right. And that's pretty much what he was tonight. All right. But the command issues were definitely there. 7 walks. 2 walks in the first inning. But he did get a big strikeout of Turner, who came into the game leading the American League in hitting. And then he got a pickoff of Bo Bichette on first base to get out of it unscathed. Also, in the inning, Anthony Rizzo missed a very, very catchable pop-up in foul territory. I didn't have his defense being a total disaster on my bingo card for this year. The question is whether this is some kind of a bad luck situation where all of his errors are bunched together, or is it kind of like the yips where it's just like a mental thing right now? You know, you can lose your confidence playing defense. That might be what happened. You know, or is there something wrong with him, wrong with his depth perception or whatnot? I guess we'll find out. Top two Yankees did get on the board. Line drive single from the artist formerly known as Gleyber Torres. Hard single from Alex Verdugo. And then a very nice piece of opposite field hitting from Oswaldo Cabrera. As Sterling would say, it is a ribby single. And the Yankees take a 1-0 lead. But it did not last. Bottom two, Luis Gil lost total control. Walked the entire ballpark, walked in a run, threw a wild pitch, gave up another run on a double to Alejandro Kirk in the bottom of the third. Look, he bounced back. He had a good inning in the fourth, couple of strikeouts. But he's just learning how to pitch in the big leagues. Harnessing the power stuff is going to be the problem. He's not the first guy to have this issue. Won't be the last. But the question is, will he be able to harness the stuff while his arm can still generate the stuff, right? A lot of guys have great arms, and then they have a few issues where they, you know, have injuries or can't put it together. And then when they're in their 30s, they learn how to pitch. I want him to figure it out sooner because his stuff is absolutely electric. But I guess we'll find out over the next couple of years. Will he take that next step and become a dominating pitcher? Or is he going to be the guy with a $100 million arm who just walks too many guys to be reliable and pitches his way out of the rotation? Only time will tell. Final line on Luis Gil tonight. 5 innings, 3 hits, 3 runs, 7 walks, 6 strikeouts. On the season, you see it there, 3.86 ERA, 1.43 whip, 14 innings pitched, 20 strikeouts. So with 14 innings and 14 walks, he's averaging a walk per inning, which also means he's averaging 0.43 hits per inning. Nobody's taken him deep yet. If he can ever figure out how to throw the ball where he wants to, he is going to be a big problem for the American League. Marinaccio looked pretty good tonight. Santana looked pretty good. But the Yankees drop a tough one.
Mission failed. We'll get him next time.
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
If you ain't first, you're last.
Ethan Ahern says, Rizzo looks awful. Judge, not right. Yankees unlucky with hits. Judge is coming around. He had, you know, your home run yesterday or the day before. Yesterday, yeah. In Cleveland, 450 feet. It's coming around. He's not going to home run every day. We're going to do something tonight that we don't generally do on this channel, and that's give out a belt after a Yankees loss, because I do think that with 36 years of service, there is one man that we should honor, and that man is Mr. John Sterling. Great career for Mr. John Sterling. All right, we got to talk about the VPN, NordVPN, which I have a graphic here. I'll be going to put it up, and we'll talk about it because this is a sponsor for tonight's episode, and they're a great sponsor. VPN, and let me hide the belt here. Hang on just a second. VPN means virtual private network. It helps you browse the internet securely and helps you avoid the MLB blackout rules. Aaron Judge, watch him hit home runs no matter where you live by getting a VPN. 4 months free on a 2-year plan, 3 months free on a 1-year plan, 30-day money-back guarantee. You just go to NordVPN.com/NYYRecaps. They've got different plans there, monthly, yearly, and it's obviously very useful if you don't like missing Yankees games, because there are these blackout rules that, depending on where you live, you might not be able to watch on MLB TV. So highly, highly recommend NordVPN. I generally don't have sponsors on this channel for things that I don't think are a good deal for my audience, and it's definitely a good deal to get NordVPN. All right, so there's something that we got to show. This is a video that I made a long time ago, 2 years ago now, and it's about John Sterling's best call as a Yankee, or best call of his career, and it was not a Yankee. But if you're watching this and you've never seen it, we're going to watch it together right now. It's about Rick Camp.
Ernie, if he hits a home run to tie this game, this game will be certified as absolutely the nuttiest in the history of baseball.
And then we'll take a few
comments. John Sterling has been the voice of Yankees radio broadcasts for a generation. Since taking over in 1989, he's called 5 World Series championships for the Yankees and lended his one-in-a-billion vocals to countless great Yankees moments.
The sun will come out. Tanaka fired a second one on the first double play. How do y'all like that?
He's known for his colorful and custom home run calls for nearly every Yankees player.
Giancarlo, no si può stopparlo.
Well, you know what they say. Nobody beats the Riz.
But perhaps his most dramatic home run call of all time came at 3:20 in the morning on July 5th, 1985 in Atlanta on a home run by this pitcher, Rick Camp. On July 4th, 1985, John Sterling's 47th birthday, the Atlanta Braves welcomed the New York Mets to Fulton County Stadium to open up a 4-game holiday weekend series. It became one of the most wild games of all time. Both teams scored once in the first inning, and the Braves went up 3-1 in the third. The Mets scored 4 in the fourth, taking a 7-4 lead into the bottom of the eighth. With the clock striking midnight, the Braves rallied for 4 runs in the bottom of the eighth to hand an 8-7 lead to Bruce Sutter, who would later enter the Hall of Fame. But Sutter blew the save, sending the game into extra innings, tied at 8 apiece. That was just the beginning. The game was 10-10 at the end of 13 innings and remained scoreless into the top of the 18th when pitcher Rick Camp allowed a run to make it 11-10. Now, remember that this is a National League game, and that means that the pitchers had to bat for themselves. In the bottom of the 18th, Rick Camp had to bat for himself with the game on the line. Rick Camp was a bad hitter. He went 3-for-13 that season at the plate for a .231 average, which was actually 157 points higher than his career average to that point of .060. Of course, Rick Camp did the improbable. He hammered his only career home run to tie the game at 11. The call from John Sterling was absolutely priceless.
And he hits it to deep left. Heat goes back. It is gone. Holy cow. Oh, my goodness. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Just said if he hits a home run, that certifies this game as the wackiest, wildest, most improbable game in history.
I mean, if you told me that John Sterling's going to run for president and win, that wouldn't be any more improbable. And I got to tell you, that's improbable.
All right. Luis Tejada with the Super Chat says that yesterday's game hurts more than today. Well, I mean, it was a walk-off loss. Those always sting. I don't like to lose to the Blue Jays. I don't like to lose to division rivals. And, you know, I was hoping that Luis Gil would deliver today. That would have shown me that he's taken the next step in his career, but he obviously still has a lot to work on offensively or in terms of control. Sorry, I'm just looking at some comments here. And I feel like the offense tonight was kind of unlucky, but we had some balls that were scorched, but right at people, the old Adam ball, right at them. You know, I was hoping we would have some long balls last year when we came to town in Toronto. The team seemed to mash in this ballpark. I kind of had Judge penciled in to go deep, maybe. But Bassett, once he gets into a groove, man, he's an artist out there. He went 6 1/3, 4 hits, 1 run, 2 walks, 5 strikeouts. I'll put up the box score. It's not much of a box score right now. 4 hits each, Yankees and Toronto. So only 8 hits in the game total. And Heel had 7 walks. So it was kind of like a game that dragged out a little bit. Volpe had an opposite field single and a stolen base. Judge 0 for 4 with a couple of strikeouts. Wells, I thought, hit the ball hard once, but took the collar. He's hitting 103. Not what you want. Grisham, just absolutely useless at the plate. So, E-Money says, Heel struggled, but the loss wasn't his fault. Not going to win many games by only scoring 1 run. I can't speak today. I think it's just a situation where, you know, we had an early morning voicemail, then we had the John Sterling news, and then, you know, the game, and now the post game, and my mouth just is worn out. Louis Albert says, DFA Grisham and bring Gonzalez up. Tired of seeing him hurt the team. Christian Maldonado says, he only gave up 3 runs. Offense was off. 3 runs, yeah, but the walks are awful. The walks are terrible. You can't walk 7 guys. The Safe Situation says, maybe that's why John Sterling is retiring, running for president. I think he'd be the youngest guy running. So, anyway. Tough night tonight. We're going to call it an early evening. It's just been a long day. Call into the voicemail if you want, and we'll do a voicemail show tomorrow. Whenever we have enough voicemails to do a show, which would be like 5 or 6, we'll do a voicemail show. Some days there's less, some days there's more, but call in if you want a show, if you have anything to say, and I'll see you next time.